percentages of this and percentages of that. And as I was either yesterday or today driving in my car, I heard that this was going to be one of the most worshipped Easters in a long time, with more people planning on attending a church this year. I'm not sure why that is, what's going on in the world to cause that, but it's kind of nice to look out into a full congregation this morning. So I'm declaring Easter again next week, okay? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single most important event that ever happened. Even greater than God creating the heavens and the earth. And we're going to look a little bit today at Christ's resurrection. And this is going to be a different sermon than what we're used to. As you know, I pretty much stay expository in my presentation. Today is going to be a little more topical, dealing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But as a bouncing off point this morning, open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, where we'll gain our text for this morning, verses 1 through 9. And this is similar to what we read out of Matthew this morning. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all things to the 11 and to all the rest. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing upon the proclamation of your word this morning. May your spirit be clear in his teaching. Father, may I be able to move out of the way so that you may be glorified. Father, we lift these things up to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The women went to the tomb that morning looking for Jesus, looking for the Christ, the Messiah, looking for him to be dead. And each and every person in this world looks for a Christ. We are all looking for that thing that makes sense. Sense as to why we're here. Sense as to why things happen. Some of us seek out that Christ through education and knowledge. Some seek him out through experience and things that go on. Some even seek out their Christ within atheism, if that's a word. Because I truly believe that to be an atheist is to have your own religion, and that is a religion within yourself. You can travel the world, not quite as easily today as maybe 50 or 100 years ago, but you could travel into the little-known recesses of the continents of Africa and South America and Australia and even Asia, and find pockets of indigenous people who all had in some way some sort of belief or religion. So we all hold a worldview on what our Christ is. For some people in this world, that Christ is money. For some people in this world, that Christ is drugs and alcohol. For some people in this world, that Christ is a job or a family. So many things that we place ourselves into to try to be fulfilling within our life. And though each and every one of those things that we look into may provide some sort of temporary relief, it will never totally fulfill us. For that was not the design of where we're supposed to be. We will even look for this Christ of ours. In Christ, I'm using that word synonymous with Savior or Messiah, not as the Christ, but as a Christ. There are many who search for him under guises of different religions, from Buddhism to Hinduism to even different facets of so-called Christianity, looking for the truth, or looking for some kind of truth to be able to grab onto and to hold onto. These women in our account this morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, all of the disciples, they had spent much time with that true Savior. They had spent much time with the true Christ. I mean, Jesus had even told them what was going to happen, that he would be arrested, he would be accused, he would be put to death, and he would arise again 3 days later. Everything that he told them up until this point had happened. He had been arrested. He had been accused. He had been convicted. And he had been nailed to a tree and crucified and died. If these words of Jesus came true the way they did, do you not think that his followers, their next step would have been to wait for his return? Everything he had told them had come true. All the miracles that he had performed, proving who he was. And yet, so much like me, and I would imagine so much like you, they forgot or didn't believe what was coming next. These women were on their way to this grave in the wee hours of this Sunday morning, the first day of the week. They had with them the herbs and the spices to prepare the body for an eternity of death. They hadn't had time back on Friday evening. Passover was there. They couldn't do anything. They had to go home. So they came out this morning to prepare the body. And when they had gotten there, they found the tomb empty. They found the body of Jesus gone. And even with that, their first thought was not that Jesus had risen. The Bible tells us their first thought was that his body might have been stolen. So this angel meets them and gives them these words. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? They came seeking a dead Jesus. They came and found an empty tomb. And Jesus being resurrected from the dead. If Christ's resurrection is not center to who we are within our belief structure, then it means nothing. Paul would actually tell us that if there is no resurrection, there is no salvation. We can drive the streets of Dover today. Many different people gathering in many different churches. Celebrating this Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I hope and my prayer is that that is what is central to their belief structure. That Jesus Christ, the living Word, was crucified, died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Many of us in this room and many of those gathering outside this room this morning, for some of us, this may be one of two times during the year that we attend church. Christmas and Easter. But truly, Easter should be celebrated every day. Because do we realize the gift that was purchased for us that day? We were enemies of God. And we might ponder that and think, I don't think I was ever an enemy of God. We're an enemy of God because of the sin that reigns in our life. We're an enemy of God because we miss the mark when it comes to pleasing Him. And because there was no way for us to reach God, I mean, we didn't even really want to. God then had to come and meet us. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is this Word. He was God incarnate, God who became man. And he did something in his 33-some years of walking this earth that I have never done, that you have never done, and that nobody else ever born ever did. He lived a perfect life. And I know some of us, we think, how can that be? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've messed up already this morning, whether in thought or deed. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. And that day that he was accused by Pontius Pilate and the people, and that's all it was an accusation because none of it was true. And he was sentenced to die in our place. His hands were nailed to a cross. A gigantic spike was put through his feet. He was made a spectacle in front of all people. He was spat upon. He was called names. And upon his death, as he cried out, "It is finished," the wrath of an almighty God was poured out upon him. See, that's how I know that Jesus was God. Because if I were to be put to, if I were to die in my sin, I would spend an eternity having the wrath of God poured upon me with never making a debt into that debt. But Jesus Christ, in 3 short days, took upon himself the wrath of God for all that will be saved. That's how I know he's God. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you've thought that you've made things right between you and God. If that were true, then the Bible tells us that we become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If that didn't happen, then maybe we need to rethink our circumstances. I grapple with things as my mind wanders. I look at my life and I wonder just where I am with Christ. I wonder why I don't do certain things, like, and they all kind of fall into the category of being more committed. I mean, in today's world, and it's really no different from any time, people who are truly sold out for Jesus Christ are looked upon at best is different, at worst, absolutely crazy. But we stand in good company, don't we? Remember going through, as we went through Mark, and basically Jesus' own family came to grab him and have him committed because they thought he was nuts. With this gift that God has given us, should it not change us? It's different from the earthly gifts that we get. I can remember the Christmases of past when my kids were little. My mother-in-law, who fancied herself as the resurrected Santa Claus, the piles of gifts scattered through the room, most of them bigger than the kids themselves. And the kids unwrap one and toss it over their shoulders and grab the next. Familiar? Guys, this gift that Jesus gave us is not a Christmas present. The gift that he offers us is a relationship with God Almighty. To have that communion that was broken so long ago between God and man. The Apostle Paul says we can call God Abba, Father. Basically, we have the right as his children to call him Daddy, to hop up on his lap, to give him our cares. He purchased that for us. That should change our hearts and our minds and the destination of our souls. If we haven't been changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then maybe we need to turn and seek him. I got it as my last point here, that the truth of the matter is, in reality, we don't seek him because he's already seeking us. And I can talk for the next 3 hours, and I won't, but it doesn't really matter what I say. I can come up with the fanciest of terms. I can come up with the most heated of arguments. I could come up with the best sales techniques. And it all does not matter unless the Spirit of God changes our hearts. That's all I want to ask of you this morning. I'm not going to have anybody make a spectacle of themselves and make any kind of profession this morning, although that is important. What I ask is if you are in any way uncertain of where you will spend eternity, that you just pray and ask God that he would show you who he is. He is the author of salvation. He has provided the way of salvation. He could have done it all on his own without us. But for some reason, he's chosen this way. The Bible says, how will they know unless someone tell them? That is my job this morning, to tell you that you need Jesus Christ. He is not dead somewhere. His body is not in a ground rotting. He is alive and well, standing at the right hand of God, calling you to himself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that we could gather under your name. Father, realizing you are the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, I pray that on this Easter morning, with so many gathered in front of me today, Father, I'm pretty much guaranteed that everybody in this room, what has been said today is not anything new. Lord, it is an explanation and a story that they have heard many, many times. Some in this room may even claim sonship or daughtership to you. Father, I pray that you would work on each and every one of our hearts. Lord, those of us who know you, may we know you more so we can love you more. And Father, if there's anyone here today that does not know you, Lord, I pray that the miracle of faith may be given to them even today. Father, may we all pray that you would open our eyes to the things of you. Lord, those of us who claim you, things sometimes get old and we take you for granted, and sometimes we drift. Bring us back to the joy of our salvation so that we might worship you in spirit and in truth forever and ever. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.